to the Danny Lake Key and turn it up because he's funny. Everything could go so wrong, but we'll be so happy.
TaylorMade Spider EX Putter. Better feel, stability and distance control. Confidence you can feel. Right across Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
Yeah, it's Danny Lakey.
On Triple M.
Well, we all remember where we were when we had our first Werther's Original. Or maybe that memory has now been surpassed. We all remember where we were when we heard Jenny have her first Werther's Original. If you have not heard the audio of Jenny having her first Werther's Original, be warned, it's at the very end of this podcast and you will not be able to unhear it afterwards. We also did Fraze Tuesday. Let's face it, it pales in comparison to Jenny's first Werther's. There is interest brewing in my real life adaptation of Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Dairy. We are in the dog casting process now. If you're hearing this for the first time, you are encouraged to submit your dog if you think it is a doppelganger of one of the six dogs in the 1990s cartoon Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Dairy. Or if you've got a cat that looks like Scarface, Claw, the toughest Tom in town. Also, we debated who's hotter, out of Guzman or Gomez, the two jolly old chaps on the Guzmani Gomez Mexican restaurant sign. But first things first, Sydney's crafty cockatoos master suburban bin diving. Good. About time for those crafty cockatoos. A few years ago, a Sydney scientist with the Australian Museum noticed a sulfur-crested cockatoo opening his rubbish bin. Not every resident would be thrilled, but ornithologist Richard Major, Dick Major, was impressed by the ingenuity. And that's the thing. That's the Dick Major way, isn't it? Other simpletons in the suburbs will just turn a blind eye to a cockatoo fishing around a bin. Not Big Dick Major. No, that's where Big Dick doubles down. It's quite a feat for a bird to grasp a bin's flip lid with its beak, prise it open, then shuffle far enough along the edge of the container so that the lid falls backwards, revealing the edible treasures inside. Big achievement for a cockatoo. This is a cockatoo's life work. Intrigued, Dick Major teamed up with the researchers in Germany to study how many cockatoos had learnt this trick. In early 2018, they found from a survey of residents that birds in three Sydney suburbs had mastered the foraging technique. By the end of 2019, birds were lifting bins in 44 suburbs. From three suburbs to 44 in 2 years is a pretty rapid spread, said Dick Major. The researchers' next question was whether the cockatoos had figured out how to do this alone, or whether they had copied the strategy from more experienced birds. And the research published on Thursday in the Journal of Science concludes the birds mostly learnt by watching their peers. That spread wasn't just popping up randomly, said Dick Major. It started in southern suburbs and radiated outwards, said Dick Major. Scientists have documented other examples in social learning in birds. One classic case involves small birds called blue tits. That learnt to puncture the foil lids of milk bottles in the United Kingdom. That started in the 1920s. Imagine if Dick Major got to study blue tits. One of the great science experiments. And look, it's great that birds are learning things. Birds are becoming more productive in society. Birds have had it too easy for far too long, in my opinion. But with the help of other birds, and especially Dick Major, who knows what birds could be capable of in the future? I'm fascinated by humans bridging the gap between human and bird. 133353, have you bridged the gap between man and bird? Because I think it's up to all of us. I tried to coax three robin redbreasts into my bedroom a couple of years ago. They would come onto my bedroom balcony and they would always go there. So I'll go down to City Farmers and get some bird seed for them. And the more bird seed that I brought, the more the robin redbreasts would come. And then slowly over the course of a month, I'd plot the bird seed closer to my bedroom door. And they just sort of nibble on the outskirts of the bedroom. I thought, God, do I dare to dream? Do I dare to bridge gap between man and bird and start sprinkling bird seed on my bedroom carpet, seeing if the birds, if the robin redbreast could be coaxed into my bedroom? Unfortunately, they never came to the other side of the bedroom border. I'm not even sure if they were the same three robin redbreasts each day. But I like to think if I'd stayed at that house longer, maybe I could have coaxed a couple of redbreasts into my room. Maybe I could have bridged the gap between man and bird. 133353, have you bridged the gap between man and bird? Maybe you taught a parrot to say a sentence. Nothing better than walking past a parrot like, David shits the bed! These are the kind of gaps that need to be bridged. Have you maybe had wild bird fauna eating out of the palm of your hand? Have you made friends with a bird? Did you maybe orphan a bird? Was it wild bird turned pet bird? 133353. Have you bridged gap between man and bird? Can we put the Kestrel calls to the top, please? Any Kestrel calls? Any Kestrel calls? No Kestrel calls. Okay, well, Ted, in the gong. Hello, this is a cockatoo call. You're in Dick Major domain here. You're following the Dick Major syllabus.
Holy shit. Yeah, well, basically, there's 46 cockatoos out from your mate's place near the church, and I got them all to look at me while I was taking a photo of them. And the next day, there's one of them. It came out into the aerial next door to me mum's place and started actually swearing the shit out. Well, it sounded like obscenities. Like, it was actually swearing. So they obviously know how to talk, but I did make 46 of them look at me when I was taking a photo of them. So I've trained some birds by the looks of it.
Huge. If you could please slide into our DMs with a couple of cock shots, that'd be great. I would love to see this photo. 46 cocks, you say, in unison?
100%.
Whoa.
46 of them.
Wow. Slide on in. Send me the pics.
Yeah, no problem. Send me that email address and I'll do that for you.
The email, right. All right, email us. Great. Producer Mickey will take care of that. Do we have an email address? Christian in Diamond Creek. Hello.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, thank you. What's the bird in question?
Oh, I had a sparrow that I rescued. I found limping along the ground. I picked it up, took it home, put it in a bird cage, and I managed to baby it for a few weeks to then just release it, thinking that it'd survive again.
Oh, yeah.
And it got scooped up by a native miner and pretty much lasted a whole 10 seconds out of the cage and suffered a painful death.
No! And this bird, no! Who took the sparrow? Yeah, what bird took the sparrow?
It's a sparrow that you sort of find at the markets. You normally find them at the markets.
Yeah, I know the market sparrow well, but what was the bird that ate the sparrow?
A native miner.
Native miners. That'd be right.
Yeah.
There's two birds that I don't like. Native miners and plovers. Those birds, I don't want to bridge the gap between man and miner. Thanks, Christian. Michael in East Burwood. Hello.
Hello, Demi. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. You're trying your best to bridge gap between man and bird?
Yeah. When I was a little boy, I had a vision of catching a bird. And what I did was get a shoebox and got a twig from the ground and tied a piece of string onto the twig and put a bit of seed on the ground where the shoebox was. And when the bird would come and land, I'd pull on the string and catch the bird.
Nice. Classic bird trap. How long did it take for the bird to fall to your bait?
Probably about an hour and a half.
Yeah, nice. Dick Major's happy. Bo in Pakenham. Hello.
How you going, mate?
Good, thank you. You're bridging the gap between man and bird?
Yeah, well, that wasn't me myself. My old man. I went around there a couple of times. I've been around there, and he's, there's about a handful of magpies sitting in the kitchen, and he's just... He was asleep on the couch, and these magpies were all in the land room just chilling.
Yes. I pose the question, have you tried to bridge the gap between man and bird? I think with this call, we realise man and bird are bridged. I'm like a bird. Is your dad Nelly Furtado? I don't know. Unbelievable.
The Birdman.
The Birdman.
Birdman.
Is it a human house or a magpie's nest? We'll never know. Love it. Thanks, Dick Major, as well. Jane in Melbourne. Hello.
Hello.
Your partner has a dog.
Yeah, a little red sausage.
Oh, great. Immediately this screams Schnitzel von Krumm with a very low tum. Has it ever been referred to as that before? A lot of sausage dogs get Harry McCleary jokes.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, that's all right. We can move on. We can move on from that. It's not a... There's no black cross, for sure. Now,
he's very handsome looking.
Handsome is good because that's what Schnitzel's all about. Schnitzel von Krumm is a very handsome German sausage dog. Is he able to collect small bones on command?
He can collect anything.
Yes, Schnitzel. Yes, Schnitzel.
He's all for the bones.
How is his tummy? Is it low?
Yeah, it's pretty low. There's a little section that I think it's rubbed off some fur.
Good. I love it when a sausage dog's belly chafes from gravel. Yes, sausage dog! All right, great. I guess the next stage here, and don't tell Schnitzel von Krumm yet that he is the lead sausage dog in my real-life adaptation of Harry McCleary. But what would be great, if you're on the socials, if you could take a photo and send it through on the Instas or speak to producer Mick, maybe she'll give you an email address. We could get a photo, just a physical reference point for Schnitzel von Krumm.
That'd nice. My partner doesn't even know I've called, by the way.
I wouldn't even tell him, to be honest, at this point in time.
He's probably listening right now because the station's on at work.
If he's on board as well, sure. But if you don't think he'd like the idea, just secretly send us a photo. Thank you very much, Jane. Hold there. Let's go to Dave in Quakers Hill. Hello, Dave.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Good, thank you. You've got a dog?
Yeah, mate. Mastiff.
Ooh.
Cross band dog.
Cross band dog. Now, I might have to call on producer Mick's expertise here for the band dog. Is this going to screw with our gene pool for Hercules Morse, as big as a horse?
Yeah, it will.
Oh, no.
I believe it's a black dog too.
Oh, hang on. You got a black mastiff.
Yeah, he's about 65 kilos.
Now, I like the weight on the thing. Don't change a thing about the mastiff's weight. Would we look into maybe just a casual veterinary approved bleaching to get involved for the mastiff? The opportunity of a lifetime.
But he has a specialty.
Mm.
He loves to eat beer cans.
Well, we've got a stunt dog for sure.
He finishes off that with a packet of cigarettes.
Ah, good. Well, so it reeks of Hercules now. Well, what I'd be looking at here is maybe a stunt dog role for maybe a dog, a Hercules Morse, maybe if it's not brave enough to perform certain stunts and smoke cigarettes on command. Maybe this is where your Mastiff Crass Bandog comes into the mix. Thank you, David. Good news though, Danny. You claim to have a Mastiff. You got a Mass?
Yeah, we got a Bull Mastiff. Well, what a Bull Mastiff cross, Danny. But in America, he's actually called a Danis. He's a Great Dane cross Bull Mastiff.
Whoa.
And Ronnie's about 80 kilos, and we've actually got him up on Instagram. We're trying to get him an agent. He's, you know how they're all on all the car ads now? We think we've got a winner here. He's got his own Facebook account, and he's the only dog I've ever known, Danny, that I can actually say on air that I've heard him as well as smell him fart.
Nice.
He is disgusting, but he's a beautiful, gentle boy.
He reeks of Hercules Morse, that's for sure.
Oh, and he does. And he's about 80 kilos. He's
good.
Fine.
The bigger, the more...
Gentle giant, Danny.
Yeah,
gentle giant.
Good. The bigger he is, the more horse-like this dog is, the better.
Exactly.
Now, what we do know is Isla Fisher got her start on Home and Away. So did the Hemsworth.
Yep.
We would look at incorporating this dog into my real-life adaptation of Harry McCleary. Look. For him to move on to bigger and better car advertising.
Look, Danny, all we want to do is get out of lockdown and take him up to, Newtown or Bondi Beach, which you know both, and we're sure we're going to find him, you know, someone will pick him out of the crowd, but we all think that about our dogs, don't we, Danny?
Yes.
Coronavirus!
Every front and square, every time I walk a dog, there's bound to be some dog scout out here. We're going to wrap him up for a car advertisement any moment. Get those details, producer Mick, because this sounds like the next big star. Craig in New South Wales. Hello.
Hey, Danny. How are you?
Good. You claim to have the leading lady.
We do. We have Harry McCleary herself. She is a schnoodle.
Schnoodle. Is this a schnauzer slash poodle?
Correct.
Is this similar to a Scottish Terrier?
Very similar. She's a little bit more grey than black, and we've had a few comments at the pet shop and taken her for walks. Oh, look, there's Harry McCleary.
Oh, now good with that! Yes! Now, I don't want to jeopardise the professionalism of this production, but you're bloody hired. Harry McCleary, sign on the dotted line. Paul, please, Harry! Good. So we'll just get some visual confirmation of this. Well, hold there, Craig. This is very exciting already. We've got the leading lady contract talks with Hercules Morse. Schnitzel von Krumm seems like a shoo-in. We're still looking for bottomly pots. I can easily find a Dalmatian. I know heaps of Dalmatians. Muffin McClay, like a bundle of hay, maybe. The golden goose. We might have to go overseas for this. English sheepdogs. Not massive.
Maybe we
can
get the Dulux dog.
Dulux dog. Maybe we, yes, let's get on to Dulux. Where'd you get your dog, Dulux? And, of course, Bits of Maloney, all skinny and bony. Italian greyhounds, please. Thin Italian greyhounds. Or if they are fat, put them on a diet and then hit us up in a couple of weeks. Scarface Claw, easy as well. This has got legs now. This has got legs. Stay tuned.
Phrases. Impress me with your phrases. Phrases.
Follow the fairies' phone book, for God's sake.
Looking to add a couple more phrases to the top 40 phrase leaderboard. Look, one phrase goes in, another phrase must dip out of the top 40. It's the way it goes. It's the way the ARIA charts have operated for many a millennia. And it seems to be a working system. Of course, the best phrase of the night will score themselves the minor prize. $50 grilled voucher. Grilled healthy burgers are 100% natural, zero artificial colours, flavours and preservatives. Just seriously good taste. A lot of calls coming through. The appetite is already wet. Wetter than a Werther's original in Glenorchy. These are the sort of phrases that we're looking for, following a structure. Obviously a little bit topical, goes well. Nostalgia always plays into the hands of the judges. As we go to Matt in Flagstone. Hello.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, thank you. Hit us with your phrase.
Harder than a virgin at a wet T-shirt comp.
What a phrase!
I like this because it's right on the edge. Not for me, personally. I'd like to go a lot further, but the bounds of commercial radio. So this is teetering right on the barbed wire fence, which is where I like to hang about with all the cool kids. So, of course, a virgin, very excited at the wet T-shirt competition, which is a dying event, let's face it. There aren't too many opportunities for a virgin to put a well-placed boner up into his school shorts anymore. This is a place that is very friendly for that, usually dark environments, lots of alcohol involved. This is great. This is guilt-free boners at its finest for virgins. And I want to put it in the top 20. My heart says top 20. My head says top 15. But I always listen to my heart, you see. So I'm going to have to go to number 18 tonight. It's a good phrase.
What a phrase.
I like it.
Just ahead of as handy as an ashtray on a motorbike. Thank you, Matt, in Flagstone. Joe, in Melton. Hello.
How you going?
Good, thank you. What's the phrase?
It's about as pleasant as sliding across a 40-foot razor blade using your balls as brakes.
What a phrase!
So there's a lot there, and 10 points for pulling it off easily, almost a tongue twister. And we'll be doing Tongue Twister Tuesdays next year, which is always a little bit of fun as well. But I'm impressed with the delivery of it. I'm just thinking in high-stakes environments. Of course, you want this to apply in the real world. You want to get yourself out of a jam. You want to be commentating on the pleasantness or unpleasantness of something. And a bit to just sort of drop into conversation if you're watching something pleasant. Go, oh, yeah, that's quite pleasant. Oh, yeah, that is pleasant. And then you go, yeah, it's about as pleasant as sliding across a 40-foot razor blade using your balls as brakes. Maybe a few too many syllables. Might scare off the cheap seats. But it is a good phrase nonetheless. I'm going to put it at number 24 tonight.
What a phrase!
It's definitely, and I mean, in hindsight, I don't know why this one even is the original 24. It's better than you're as confused as a horny blind man at a fish market. It's definitely better than that.
What a phrase!
Good on you, Joe. Let's go to Jono in Warrenwood. Hello, Jono.
There you go, mate.
Good, thank you. What's the phrase?
Face like a melted Power Ranger.
What a phrase!
Face like a melted Power Ranger is a great phrase. Simple, yet effective. There's no bumbling this one. This can easily slot into a conversation. We've all got a mate, and his face, unfortunately, does look a little bit like a melted Power Ranger. I like the imagery. I like that there's a little nod to the Power Ranger past. I don't know how far beyond you are of your Power Ranger days, but I'd say probably 27 years past my Power Ranger days.
Yeah,
good. So he's brought it back. It's a great phrase. Now, we've already got a couple of you've got a head like A and you've got a face like A phrases in the top 40. Head like a robber's dog is currently number 17, and you've got a face like a bulldog chewing on a wasp is at number 14. Yeah, well, these are all good, but I'm going to have to take the first entrant, and I think it's better than those. So by precedent, it's going to have to go at number 12 tonight.
Good what phrase. A phrase.
Bloody good phrase. And it's the clubhouse leader so far with one more call to get through. Carla in Victoria. Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. What's your phrase?
More tollies than a Roman sandal.
Okay. What a phrase.
An oldie but a goodie classic. Is this the first time you've used more toey than a Roman sandal in the last 5 years? Or is this part of your vernacular? Does it only come out for Phrase Tuesdays?
Probably the first time in 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
What a phrase!
I don't mind it. You can imagine there's a lot of toes, five at least, on each Roman sandal. Not as toey as a podiatrist's mouth with a fake medical degree. Ooh, deep and saucy. But it is still a pretty good phrase. I'm going to put it at number 38 tonight. Just better than Ron Dogg.
He's lower than whale shit.
Just better than Ron Dogg.
It was a revelation about one of the Danny Lakey show's biggest characters that shocked the nation.
How many Werther's originals are you having?
Pardon? Pardon? What's Werther's original?
Oh, please.
I don't think I've had them.
Whoa.
Jenny from Glenorchy has never consumed a Werther's original.
There's been a lot of shocks in the past 18 months. There's been a lot of curveballs thrown my way, but none more than Jenny being unaware of the concept of the Werther's original.
Tonight, everything changes.
Well, I will be sending you a packet of Werther's original, and I will insist that next time we speak to you, you will have a Werther's original in your mouth doing a live taste test.
We unwrap a changing day in Jenny's life.
If you hear me sucking on the phone, you'll know they're here.
Well, this is why I got into the biz. To get involved in situations like this, life-changing moments. Jenny in Glenorchy, Tasmania, waiting patiently on hold, as she does each and every night, listening to the Danny Lakey show. Jenny, have we got you there?
Yes.
Good. Now,
I love the introduction.
Well, I bet you do. And the voiceover guy worked very hard on it. And it was this time, 8 days ago, that we dropped the bombshell. You never had a Werther's original. And call me naive, I would have thought you would have had at least 1,000 Werther's originals in your life.
No.
We spoke to you last night. You are in possession of the Werther's originals. And you can't even really say that you remember the packaging or anything. You definitely never had one of these butterscotch kisses.
No.
Yeah. Just bring us up to speed how experienced you are in the hard-boiled game. You're having lemon sherbets. You're having strawberry bonbons.
I used to have, back in the day, some lemon sherbets, but I didn't like those very much.
Well, they're a bit tart. Now, to quell the nerves, I thought it would only be fair for me to just eat a little piece of cauliflower. Would you like that? Would you like if I just quelled the nerves and ate a little piece of cauliflower?
Go for it, babe.
All right. That's good cauliflower. So there you go. There's the nerve settler. Talk us through what's going on right now. You have a big pack of Werther's originals in your hands, or you've got a solitary boiled lolly in your hands?
I've got a solitary covered ball in my hand.
Is it still wrapped?
Yes.
Okay. We shall now commence the process of you unwrapping the Werther's original.
Okay.
Oh, it sounds better than I thought. Get them in there. Here we go. Yeah. Show it who's boss. Go on, don't be shy.
It's unwrapped and in my mouth now.
Whoa, okay, she skipped right to mouth. Well, I thought you were going to have it in your hand for a little bit, but you have skipped right to mouth. And we can hear it, and it's in there right away. Now, do not bite. Lips over teeth, please. First, thoughts, musings, exactly what you're expecting or something different?
Very caramelly.
You're getting the creaminess as well.
Oh, yes.
Good.
Delicious.
Yeah, it is delicious. Yeah, this comes as no surprise to the rest of us who have experienced our Werther's original. We all remember our first time. We are living vicariously through you right now. Probably a lot of jealous people out there wishing that they could have their first time with the Werther's again. Whereabouts in your mouth is the Werther's for the majority of the time? Mid-tongue? Back near the molars?
No, mid-tongue.
Mid-tongue. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And salivation levels lower than average?
Rising.
Rising. Whoa, rising.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does it remind you? Oh, God. Does it now, easy there, wildcard. Does it Oh, Jenny. Jenny. Does it Jenny. 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 Jenny, does Jenny, does it remind you of anything else that you've experienced before, food wise?
No. It's much nicer than the butter menthols.
Yeah, it is. It's better than the butter menthols. It's amazing what the takeaway of menthol can do.
I'll never go back to butter menthols again.
No, once you go Werther's, you never go back. So, all right, so good. This is good. You will continue, I assume, through the ad break. Are you a biter or are you just, going
to
fish?
No, I love to suck.
Okay, all right, so this is good for you. And I can only imagine how good it is for the Werther's original right now. And I mean, just imagine if reincarnation did happen to be real and there's some soul out there right now who got reincarnated as that Werther's original, how confused and giddy they must be.
Triple M.